Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's talk some Sabres hockey in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, our friend Lance Lisowski. The Buffalo News, covering the Buffalo Sabres. Lance, good with his time as always, joining us in the sports bar. How you been, Lance?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Yeah, Lance, we're waiting for the Calder Cup playoffs again. We're the hockey here in Rochester is exciting. In Buffalo, I guess the story is the head coaching search. What is the latest on the search for a head coach for the Buffalo Sabres?
I think, as unfortunate it is for Jason Botterill, I think there was a lot of false information out there about him zeroing in on Todd McClellan as the next head coach, but that wasn't the case. And you saw that with Alain Vigneault going to Philadelphia as well. Jason Botterill has, I was told, a deep pool of candidates of experienced coaches under, you know, going through the interview process, several people involved at this point. So I wouldn't expect the decision to be imminent, but I think it's a little overblown. I think there's a lot of panic setting a little early, you know, because it's, you know, you might think that the Sabres missed out on two coaches, but I'm told that's not the case, and they are still very much pleased with the pool of candidates they do have in front of them.
Lance, when Jason Botterill spoke to the media after releasing Phil Housley of his duties, somebody asked him what he was looking for in his next head coach, and he didn't really answer that question, nor does he need to answer that question, but what do you think is left? What do you think he is looking for, and who is left out there that would be a fit for what he's looking for the Sabres?
I think he's looking for an experienced coach who, like Phil Housley, was a good communicator, but you need somebody who is maybe more willing to make adjustments, especially when it comes to defensive structure, somebody who might be better with just lineup decisions. You saw some of that that I think Phil Housley sort of struggled with throughout the season. And somebody who's good with young players, you know, who can teach these young players to really how to produce late in the season. That's something that Phil Housley just couldn't seem to navigate. He couldn't get these guys to really play a more sound defensive game when the games tighten up. The other teams are more desperate, and the Sabres just couldn't really match that emotion night in and night out. So I think you're looking for a motivator, you know, and you look around at some of the names. Who has experience with young players? You know, Guy Boucher is somebody whose reputation might have taken a hit up in Ottawa with just some of the things that happened maybe off the ice. You know, the Uber incident where his assistant coach was getting called out for their work on the PK, a few things there, but he obviously had a lot of success up there. Jacques Martin, an assistant in Ottawa and in Pittsburgh, who was a head coach before. There are a lot of, if you think about it, there are, I was told, roughly 60 former NHL head coaches serving as either assistants in the NHL, head coaches in the AHL, college coaches, or international who are available. So there are a lot of people out there. Michel Therrien is a guy who can be a motivator. He's a tough guy, but I've heard his name, you know, thrown out there by some people in the industry. So I think there are a lot of possibilities still, and I wouldn't rule out Chris Taylor, because I think if Jason Botterill wants to go with somebody who might be an inexperienced coach, it obviously would be Chris Taylor with his work as in player development in Rochester and his ability to motivate those guys down there.
We're talking to Lance Lisowski, Buffalo News, as in Buffalo last weekend, it was the Frozen Four. And there is one guy that certainly I think is interesting, and I hope the Sabres would at least have a conversation. What are your thoughts on Scott Sandelin? Back-to-back NCAA title, certainly no small feat. It's believed he's going to coach Team USA in the World Juniors. Do you think he'll get a chance to interview? What do you think of Sandelin as a candidate, Lance?
I think he will, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Nate Lehman from Providence, if not with Buffalo, with another team, because those are two guys who I think have really, really solidified their case to take the next step, if that's what they want to do. Because I know that, you know, Scott has said that that's something he will explore when the time is right. I don't know how old his children are, because I know that's always something. When you look at college coaches, it's a huge commitment, obviously, to be an NHL coach, but they have certainly shown they can do it. And, of course, it's certainly helps. Somebody like David Quinn with the New York Rangers, the type of season, although they missed the playoffs, I mean, Quinn really showed that he can be a head coach in the NHL level. So the stigma is gone. I think now you're seeing a lot of general managers, a lot of ownership groups who are saying, why not hire a college coach at this point? Because when you look at certain things the Sabres struggle with, the top of the list is defensive structure. And that's something that I think both of those guys could help bring in if they end up being somebody that Jason Botterill wants to speak to.
Talking some Sabres hockey, but Lance Lesowski, the Buffalo News in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Let's shift gears and talk about the locker room and what kind of players the Sabres need to focus on here in the offseason. Where will they find more skill at forward this offseason, Lance?
They really need a second-line center. They let one walk last offseason when Ryan O'Reilly went to St. Louis, so the one player, if you're willing to spend in free agency, is Kevin Hayes. I would bring him in immediately. Now, of course, he's with Winnipeg and has a lot of success with the New York Rangers. That's a player who not only knows the Eastern Conference, but knows how to play meaningful games late in the season. That is one player. William Karlsson is a guy that if the Golden Knights have trouble with the cap situation, which they're going to, I mean, they're projected to be about $3 million over right now, so they might have to part with somebody like Karlsson. Stastny only has, I think, two more years on his contract. Stastny's a guy that if I was Buffalo, why not look at him as a second-line center? And there are going to be other players, you know, when it comes to the bottom six role, but when it comes to what the Sabres need, that second-line center is going to be so key because that moves Mittelstad down to the third line. And it should give you more production from your second line. What if Jeff Skinner is on your second line? If somebody like maybe Alex Nylander is on your second line, you need to get the most out of those guys because I think that time and time again, what you saw this year is some of these, you know, a skilled winger like Tage Thompson, the Sabres really couldn't take advantage of his skill because he was often stuck playing with Vladimir Sobotka or Johan Larsson. Now, how is a young player supposed to develop playing with somebody like that? So second line center has to be at the top of Botterill's list right now.
We're talking to Lance Lesowski from the Buffalo News. You had a chance to sit down with Rasmus Dahlin at the end of the season. Lance, what did you learn after, well, I think we could say, a promising rookie campaign, and what would you say is Dahlin's ceiling?
I think he has to feel pretty encouraged at this point. What stood out to me the most was how an 18-year-old who accomplished as much as he did left that room that day with a really bitter taste in his mouth. He thought that he was going to come in and be the catalyst for change. He thought he was going to come in and lead the Sabres to the playoffs in the first season. And, you know, it looked like that could very well be the case back in November. But not only did the rest of the team struggle, but Dahlin knows that he struggled as well. The puck management wasn't good enough late in the season. It took him some time to learn how to deal with the physicality of the NHL because more teams were making a concerted effort to finish their checks on him to try to rattle him a little bit. But he's going to get stronger this offseason. I can't imagine what kind of player he's going to become when he really hones that shot in, especially on the power play when there were so many scoring opportunities and he'd either missed the net or broke his stick. But he's going to be a heck of a player next season because you can just tell that he left very motivated by some of his shortcomings on the ice.
Lance, so much has been made of the culture in the Sabres locker room, especially towards the end of the season. You heard Rasmus Ristolainen talk about it at locker cleanout day, how he wishes the team would hold each other a little bit more accountable. Maybe they need to MF each other a little bit more. And I think he's the fan favorite is the guy that could be dealt this offseason. I'm more curious about a handful of other guys that have been a part of this kind of consistent culture of losing in Buffalo. And a name that I don't think people bring up at all, and I don't know if it makes any sense to bring up his name, but Sam Reinhart has been a part of this, and he's still a guy that's young enough that you could fetch something for him. Now, his contract situation, I don't know if that makes him easy to move, but shed some light on some of the acquisitions and some of the moves that could be made by the Sabres this offseason in terms of guys going in and guys going out for guys, new guys coming in.
Yeah, Reinhart's it's an interesting case there because you're going to have to pay him. Now, he's a restricted free agent at the end of next season. Of course, you can give him a qualifying offer at the end of next year and hope that he comes to terms with that. But this is a guy who obviously wants a long-term contract. I don't think he was nearly good enough this year. I know the numbers are the numbers. He had a career high in points, but he needs to step his game up. He's become better defensively in particular. So he would be a name, though. I mean, Mike, you mentioned him. He's a guy who would obviously command a return, but I think he's part of the solution, not part of the problem. He can put the puck in the back of the net, and this team needs more people who can. And I look at the blue line, they have a lot of – they've got numbers there. Okay, they've got – when Rochester added Jacob Bryson, You got Will Borgen, who's probably going to begin the season again in Rochester. They need to really clear some space for some of these young guys, especially Lawrence Pilot when he comes up next year. And how do you do that? You got to make trades. I know you're not going to get much for a guy like Scandella, but that makes Ristolainen the guy who makes the most sense at this point. You know, anybody, I think, a number of teams around the league are want to pay less than $6 million a year for a right-handed defenseman with that type of upside. And I know that the inconsistency has plagued him since the beginning of his career, but he can bring a really sizable return. And you mentioned it, Mike, when you mentioned that this team doesn't know how to win, they don't. That's something that you've seen Jason Botterill make a concerted effort in trying to add. He brought in Connor Sheary. He brought in Brandon Montour, who had played in some meaningful playoff games in Anaheim. He wants people who know how to win because there's too many people in that room who don't know how to do it. They need somebody who realizes what it takes to win in March, you know, how to get into the playoffs and to win in the playoffs. And that's why I would bring back Jason Pominville if you can. You need to go out, and when you make a trade, when you get rid of a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, you better bring in somebody who knows how to win those meaningful games. And there are players like that out there. So right now, it's Botterill's job to go out and find them.
Lance, you brought up Jacob Bryson as he just is coming off that Frozen Four. How did he look? What kind of player are the Amherst getting here for the postseason run?
He's outstanding with the puck on the blade of his stick. I mean, he can really make plays. And people keep citing his size, but it's the NHL in 2019. I'm tired of hearing about size. This guy can play. He's physical in front of the net. He's not afraid to really get the puck in the dirty areas. Good on the back check. Really sound in their structure. So I think that, you know, maybe he doesn't get right into the lineup. It's tough. They've got numbers. I don't envy Chris Taylor's situation right now with just the talent they have, not only on the blue line, but up front, trying to get everybody in the game. But he's going to make the power play better if he does get the opportunity. This is a guy who, there's a reason why he turned pro. You know, a week ago, he wasn't sure if this was going to be the move for him. He was going to leave Providence after 3 years. He talked about wanting to get his degree. Well, either they convinced him otherwise, or this was his plan all along. And he is very much a part of the Sabres' future. I really like his game. I think this is a guy that he will need time in Rochester next year, but this is a big add for not only the Sabres, but the Amherst, because now Botterill can go out this offseason and he knows that he's got some more options down in Rochester if he chooses to make a trade, especially on the back end.
The Amherst start their postseason run Friday night at Blue Cross Arena, Toronto. The opponent, 7:05, a game you can hear right here on ESPN Rochester. We're speaking with Buffalo News' Lance Lazowski covering the Buffalo Sabres for the Buffalo News. Let's talk some Stanley Cup playoffs, Lance, because it's been a little upside down. Let's start with, the big story. Can you make any sense of what's happened to Tampa Bay so far this postseason?
I can't. I don't know if anybody can. It's weird. I mean, from my perspective, I think it's a team that didn't face much adversity in the regular season. So when it came time for the playoffs, they don't know how to respond to it, and which is pretty unfortunate because a guy like Steven Stamkos, a guy like Nikita Kucherov, those guys have no excuse to play the way that they have. I look at guys like Shirelli or some of their bottom six players who are younger. Yeah, I mean, sure, it's going to be a difficult transition for them because the game, the pace of the game obviously changes quite a bit when you get to this time of year, but their top players are not playing up to their potential, and it's really unfortunate. You know, that said, I look at what Columbus has, and that's a heck of a draw to get in the first round. That team with that coach, I mean, I know that Tortorella catches a lot of heat, and deservedly so with some of his shortcomings in the past, but that's a really good team. That's a really good lineup. That's a goalie who is coming in extremely motivated. He wants to get paid this offseason, and he's going to get paid. So that's a tough place to play in Columbus. So I'm curious to see if they can finish the series off with a sweep tonight.
What's the attitude in Buffalo right now when it comes to Robin Lehner? Is it a missed opportunity, or it just wouldn't have happened for him? He needed that change of scenery because I wouldn't have believed if you told me a year ago that Robin Lehner would go to another team that would sweep potentially Pittsburgh in the first round.
They knew he needed a change of scenery. Robin Lehner knew that he needed a change of scenery. I mean, Jason Botterill went out and made phone calls to other teams to try to get Robin a job. And it was just one of those things. He was dealing with a lot in his personal life. And I know it's easy to kind of forget about that. It's hard to disconnect the person with the player on the ice, but that's something that it held true right here. I mean, it's a guy who finally got everything together. He's been put in a really good situation with a team that plays a really sound defensive structure that doesn't give up the high quality scoring chances that the Sabres did this year or last year. So you know, good for him. He pulled together. It's a perfect situation for him with a coaching staff that I think has really gotten the most out of his game. And it seems like Barry Trotz, just hearing him throughout the year, continued to instill confidence in Leonard. You just heard it time and time again, even after a bad game. I know that they weren't really shy about playing two goalies with Bryce there as well, but still, you got to give credit to the coach for the way that he handled that.
Lance, when you see Robin Leonard do what he's done this year after leaving Buffalo and after leaving that trail behind him in the story of everything he went through and all of the adversity he went through this offseason, is it fair to think that there might be more Robin Leonard-type players inside that Sabres locker room today?
I don't think so. I think when you're looking at him, he obviously dealt with a mental health disorder. There was alcoholism involved. There was a lot going on there. I think what you got in the Sabres room right now is there's a lot of players who are just discouraged. I mean, you look at Ristolainen. He has done nothing but failed on the ice since he's gotten to the NHL, and he's tired of it. And you can't really fault the guy. He's 24 years old, and he's really forgotten how to win. He hasn't won anything since World Juniors. So you got him. You've got, I think, most of the veterans, the guys who have been around, you know, who understand it, like Kyle Okposo. They know it's on them to fix their issues, but there's other young guys who are just kind of tired of it, and how couldn't you be? I mean, the instability with the coaching situation, I think that they all do have confidence in Jason Botterill, and this coaching change hit hard. This wasn't like when Dan Bylsma left. They genuinely, from man to man that I've spoken to, they really liked Phil Housley. They liked what the type of communicator Phil Housley was. He had an open-door policy, so if a player needed anything, whether it be hockey-related or off the ice, they can go talk to Phil, which wasn't the case with Dan Bylsma, according to them. So this is, I think, a gut check moment for a lot of guys in that room that they better figure it out because they're next. Because Jason Botterill's not afraid to get rid of a player like Ryan O'Reilly. And I think you're going to see some significant changes this offseason to try to address sort of that lingering cloud in that room. It's not like they're bad guys. It's a bunch of guys that have forgotten how to win or some who just don't know how to do it.
Talking to Lance Lasowski, Buffalo News. I'm sure the Buffalo News will be covering the Amerks playoff run here. Lance, I want to get your thoughts. Here's what makes me nervous about the Amerks. It has nothing to do specifically with the Amerks. It's the format. We talked to Randy Sexton before, about, and he agrees with us. Why in a developmental league would you want to go best of five in the first round? I mean, you should be able to absorb the cost of going best of seven. But regardless, aside from that, where maybe a bounce or two goes against you, all of a sudden you're down 0-2. What would have to happen here for the Amerks in order to get by the defending champs they draw, Toronto, in the first round?
I will begin with your note about the five-game series, and you're right. It's completely silly, and there's no reason behind it other than, I guess, maybe you want to save money in terms of teams traveling. I don't understand it otherwise. Shorten the season, it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It's something that needs to be fixed, and you've seen gradually the AHL make some significant moves for the better in recent years. Hopefully that's the next one. And in terms of the series, I think Rochester needs to be better on the back end. I mean, they've been kind of inconsistent. Injuries have been part of that. I mean, you look at what happened to Lawrence Pilot. He went up the NHL. He goes back. He's struggling a little bit. Maybe confidence was an issue there. Zach Redmond was hurt, comes back, hasn't really been the same exactly, but they got healthy at the right moment, and they're going to need good goaltending. I mean, Scott Wedgwood needs to be the guy, and I'm sure he knows that. He has an opportunity to probably earn himself an NHL job this offseason if he plays well down the stretch here. So I think offensively this team is as skilled as any other team in the American Hockey League. There's no doubt about it. You look, just the depth there is incredible for an AHL team, in my opinion, just sheer skill wise. They're not built like many teams out there. So this is going to be kind of a test. How does Chris Taylor set up this lineup to succeed? Because it's not an easy decision when you have so many bodies, because there are a lot of bodies. You know, when you look at guys on ATOs, you got guys who are playing well towards the end of the season, like Fitzgerald, where does he fit in? So we'll see. You know, it was unfortunate the way things happened last year with Linus Allmark, maybe some poor timing. I know he was dealing with a lot off the ice. So they're in a good position here right now. I mean, this Toronto team has been inconsistent all year. Well, I think they have the highest, you know, team salary in terms of AHL contracts in the league. So this is a team that should have performed much better than it did, but I really like Rochester's chances here.
Lance Lasowski covering the Sabres for the Buffalo News. And, of course, we'll have some Amerks coverage there in the Buffalo News as well. Lance, always gracious with his time. I want you to give us a few moments and our audience a few moments. Lance, tell us what you're working on for Buffalo News and more about your Facebook Live that you've got coming up here on Thursday night as well.
Oh, yeah, I do a Facebook Live, typically every Wednesday. So we're only doing it on Thursday today, just a change of circumstance. Typically Wednesday, 7 p.m., Buffalo News sports page on Facebook. Go like it, follow along every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. And I'm getting ready for Rochester coverage here, guys. So I'll be heading to practice tomorrow. Then I got the two games next weekend. And fortunately, since they are playing Toronto, I'll be covering the games on the road as well.
Nice. Love that. Looking forward to that. Lance, safe travels to our city, and we're looking forward to reading your work.
Yeah, hey, let's do this again soon sometimes, guys. Of course, I'll be there, you know, for the home games. And I'm in the Rochester quite a bit. I'm dating a Rochester girl.
So oh, boy. Oh, it's over. It's over. Lance, you might as well be looking at homes in Victor, Greece. Yeah, you know, find a
wait
school
a second.
District.
Wait
it's
a second.
Over.
East side or west side?
What's funny is I have no idea what neighborhoods are which over there, so I'll get around to it.
Oh, that's it. Listen, if she's from here, you know, if you're like Gene and I, a lifetime sentence to Rochester, New York is in your future, pal. Good luck to you.
You are never leaving.
Ask Taylor about it. He knows. Ask any of those guys. Come on. Lance, great talking to you. Let's get you in studio, too, if you're in town. That would be a lot of fun.
Anytime. Reach out to me, guys.
You got it. Lance Lasowski, Buffalo News, joining us in the sports bar. Oh, boy.
Nathan Paige knows about
that. Yeah, he knows
that.
About it. Absolutely. Yeah. Something in the water here. I don't know. That was fun. Lance Lasowski, the Buffalo News. We'll get that up and online for you on demand at ESPNRochester.com. You can also listen to it through the radio.com app anywhere, anytime, right there. On your phone. Gino, shall we take a break here and come back with some takes?
Yeah, I mean, he said something I was saving for I'll drink to that, but he hit right on the button. I'm going to suggest something radical for Chris Taylor to try. I'm going to bring other instances of what-ifs that were missed opportunities because you didn't want to play the young player, but it ended up costing you. My suggestion for Chris Taylor and the Rochester Americans this postseason.
Okay. I'm going to pay homage to Jay Moore, who visited us a couple of weeks ago here in the sports bar. I've got a Stanley Cup playoff take, and I've also got a take on Seattle and the Seahawks.
Yeah, and since the NFL schedule comes out, I'm going to call my shot with the Bills schedule here.
All right, good. We've got some takes coming up. I'll drink to that. You're always welcome to join us on the Betlem Residential Hotline at 454-ESPN. That's 454-3776. Mike Rodak joining us in a few as well. We'll talk more Buffalo Bills in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.